Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Welcome to yet another hour, or yet another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. Botching my own intro line. You got to forgive me on that. But anyway, got a great show planned for you, and I'm coming out of the gate swinging. I'm hot. It's not about political. Sometimes your quotient, right? Your portion of idiocy you can take just gets exhausted. And one of the really nice things about having a radio show, you can scratch that itch. You know, it's kind of nice, right? Kind of feels like you're just screaming out into the ether sometimes, but it's just lunacy. And I know that I'm going to use a reference. I'm going to get into the market update. We're going to go, got plenty of stuff to talk about, right? A lot of stuff going on in markets, State of the Union last night. But I got to start with something here, guys. And I know we got people in California, we got people in Arizona, Oregon, Washington State, all over the world. Funny enough, where was it? Was it Estonia, Latvia, something like that? We had an unusual amount of podcast listeners in some country. It was just interesting. There must be a small group of expats there that, you know, that get together and like podcasts or something. Anyway, fascinating. But I know this is airing in a lot of places, like Texas. They seem to have governments with a little more common sense than our fearless leaders up here in the evergreen state of Washington. But nevertheless, I think that this is a really interesting, you know, and this is somewhat of a national story. But of course, we're really doubling down in spectacular fashion here in Washington. And I want to approach this, guys, from a non-political point of view, okay, a factual point of view. So here in the state of Washington, they are really aggressively going after this NatGas thing, okay, really aggressively. And you guys, it is the biggest boogeyman hunt I have ever seen. Let's sit back for a second and let's say that we all agree regarding the climate. Let's say we all agree, okay? Let's say everybody agrees that man is causing most of the harm. Let's stipulate that the most wild climate projections, you know, Miami's going to be underwater in 3 years. All the coral in the sea is going to be up. Let's stipulate all that stuff, okay? Just for the sake of argument, then let's come back to natural gas. Guys, one of the things you learn in athletics that then is reinforced in business, and unfortunately, if you spend your time, you know, in academia or going through college and then go to work for government or a big bureaucratic company, because I think a lot of those characteristics have become very similar, meaning you're in sort of a gestation, right? You're in sort of a chrysalis inside it. If you're at a big company like Apple, I mean, think about it. Like, you know, they're so big and powerful and far-reaching that even economic ups and downs don't really touch you, right? You're insulated. And I think that really you have to be in an environment like that to think some of these things that these folks do. And again, I want to reinforce that we're not even going to talk politics here. Okay, because energy is something you got to get right, right? You got to get it right. And so what happens here in Washington State is sort of a petri dish, kind of a litmus test. Well, we get all of our great ideas from California, naturally, because that's just going off without a hitch down there, right? So let's stipulate all that's right. But one of the things you realize in real life, when you run a business, you play in athletics, I remember my coach used to say to me all the time, Perfection is the enemy of progress, right? Meaning, how much damage are we going to do to things while trying to come to a perfect solution when several very viable and far better solutions are right in front of us? And if the and this is one of the biggest problems I have with the climate alarmists. If the problem was as bad as they said, then why wouldn't they be climbing over each other to replace other forms of energy like coal-fired power plants with nat gas? Is it perfect? No. But is it one of the clean? Yes, it's so much cleaner. It burns so much cleaner than oil. It burns so much cleaner than coal. This attack on natural gas moves us backwards. And how does it move us backwards? Because it makes the overall grid and it makes the overall power situation in this country far more brittle and far more fragile. And when it breaks and people realize the full lunacy of what the people pushing in that direction have done, when power bills go through the roof, and I'll tell you, the threat in Europe's over. Hold on. We'll get to that. Because we're concocting our own. We're concocting our own power shortage disaster. Now, here in the United States, you know, I'm always reminded by the words that Winston Churchill said, which is, the Americans will make the right decision after they try everything else. And we've got an advantage here in the U.S. because we've got all the natural resources. So when people realize what idiocy our current energy policies are, then they'll pivot really quick. But here's the problem. What will they do? They'll probably pivot too far the other way. For those who are, right, you know, and look, I'm sort of down the middle on this topic, meaning I think the world is warming. I think man probably plays a role. I think it's very inconclusive what that role is. I think it's something as stewards of the environment and the world we should be conscious of and we should be caring about. I think clean air is a good thing, right? But there's a sensible approach. And like I said, energy is one of those things that you have to get right. And we're treating it as if it's this guarantee that's just always going to be there. And it won't. Like, you can really shoot yourself in the foot with this. And this whole war against, it's just obscene. And that's where it gets me into, especially when you're looking at nat gas, when you look at this crackdown on nat gas, that to me, I'm sure that the politicians driving it, I'm sure the majority of them believe it. But I will also guarantee you that there's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of solar panel and a lot of EV and a lot of all that kind of stuff lobbying for, there has to be because it's so nonsensical. And like I've said before, and people have pushed back, but guys, at the end of the day, it's true. If you're really concerned about how bad nat gas is, go do me a favor and go turn on the burners in your stove for an hour in your kitchen, let it burn, and then go see if you can see any soot on the ceiling. And if you got an air tester, test the air quality in your kitchen. You can't let it burn indefinitely. Like, I get that. I'm not saying it's perfect. Okay, but when you look at the energy that it provides and the lack of nastiness that it spits out, when you compare it on a molecular level to coal and oil and all, it's so much cleaner. I remember being up in Whistler 10 years ago. And the far leftist Canadians were all celebrating and hailing the fact that all their public buses had been converted to nat gas. 10 years ago, that was a step in the right direction. And guess what? It still is. Do you know how much better you'd make the situation in the world if you converted every coal-powered fire plant in the world to nat gas? It's progress. It may not be perfect, but this is where I have a problem with that lobby. Because if the problem was as bad as they say it is, then any incremental improvement that we can do right now would be greeted with open arms. We don't have time. We must address this issue. Okay. Well, we got a viable solution right here that's way better. Here's the other thing. Whether you know it or not, guys, nat gas is going to be a part of the mix for a long time. Why? Because it is really good. We've got a ton of it, and it's very effective. And every other means outside of nuclear, and you got to have backups for a grid, right? Power plants can go down. Nuclear power plants can go down. You got to have, right? Energy is really important. You got to have backups for your backups. You got to have secondaries. Got to have a sidearm. And nat gas is beautiful for that. And look, the reason I'm saying this in a nonpartisan way, first of all, I'm not a member of either party, but one of the reasons I'm saying it in a nonpartisan way is people need to realize, is it perfect? No, but perfection is the enemy of progress. Guys, I hate to break it to you, but windmills aren't perfect. Matter of fact, they require a lot of petroleum to build them. Second of all, they break a lot more often than we think. And third of all, there's no real way to dispose of them, so they're just burying them in the ground. Did I say we should get rid of them? No. A lot of problems with solar panels. Once again, need oil and stuff to make them. Second of all, they can be really fragile. Third of all, they're intermittent by nature because they ain't getting solar energy at night or when there's cloud cover. Does it mean we should get rid of them? No. Nat gas isn't perfect. It emits some CO2. Does it mean we should get rid of it? No, because it emits far less than others. It burns far cleaner. This whole thing, it's damaging people's lungs. What a crock. And here's how you know it's a crock. Go look at the majority of inner city or poverty-stricken areas and go tell me how many of them actually have nat gas stoves. Not many. They're more expensive. And this is why don't we want to mess around with this, guys? Because if they continue to go down this path, at the very least, you're going to see triple, quadrupling, and probably even more of your power bills. And they're going to say, well, it's a small price to pay. The other thing people need to wake up and realize is that honestly, and again, I'm always about cleaning up your own backyard. Okay. I'm a big proponent of that. But when you look at the numbers, and right, we shouldn't have any emotion involved in this. This is purely a scientific and analytical discussion and exercise. When you look at the numbers, it doesn't matter what we do here if we don't address India and China. Pollution ain't a regional issue, guys. Neither is global warming, right? It's a global issue. Global warming, not territorial warming, not continental warming, global warming. And this is the issue I have. I think it's very scary when people that are supposed to be, you know, serious people say these kinds of things. Nat gas is what you're, are you kidding me? A war, we got to get rid of, it's just idiocy. And even if you did get rid of it, like I said, we could lower the emissions here in the United States to effectively zero and we don't change the problem. We've already cut our emissions in half. It's the third world that's the issue. And you're never going to cut them enough to offset that. So anyway, I hope I'm probably being a little bit too optimistic here. But if you know people that think this, the only way we beat back on this, guys, and the only way we – it's sort of like when you see your kid doing something stupid and you're like, don't do that. It's going to hurt. And then 10 minutes later, you hear the cry, right? It's how I feel about this. You sit there and go, guys, don't support this. Ah, there it goes. Power bill just 4X'd on me. And then everybody's crying, the din of it. Right. And it's so obvious you can see this train coming from a mile away. Guys, it's lunacy. It's also, and if you're really passionate about this, because I'll be honest with you, when it comes to the issue of global warming, I'm very confused. I'm very confused. I hear people who I respect intellectually speak with such certainty. And then when I review the data on both sides, I'm left with more questions than are answered. I'm just being 100% transparent and honest. If you can't see the, I didn't say that the globe was warming, okay? But the globe has had many periods of cooling, warming. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean that man isn't playing a role. It doesn't mean that man's role isn't more significant than I think it is. I don't think that I've got a monopoly on the truth. What I do think, though, is I think I'm a pretty intellectually honest person that looks at facts and makes decisions based on facts and makes a concerted effort on a regular basis to strip my emotion and bias out the best I can. And one of the reasons you do that is because you manage money, which amazes me when I hear these manage money, or these other money managers, they go off on these emotional diatribes and say ridiculous things. And you know, some of them are still successful. I guess part of me admires them, just because for me, maintaining that rigorous mental structure and staying, you know, dedicated to truth and fact, regardless of whether it suits my opinion or not, it's a necessary thing for me, right? I can't let my own bias keep me from seeing a bullet. But this situation and what I see them doing here in the state of Washington, first of all, it's an exercise in complete futility. And second of all, it is a horrifically concave proposition, meaning the upside to what they're doing is virtually nothing. The downside is massive. It is the exact opposite of what we want as investors, right? And the tough part about it is you're going to come to the same conclusion. It's just a matter of how much pain and time it takes you to get there. Because this is insanity. Nat gas is so much. I mean, it was like in Germany. They're over there. You know, they're shutting down their nuke plants while they're burning biomass. You can't make this stuff up. Shutting down nuclear reactors while they're firing up the coal. And it's like we have children. Well, Nat gas emits CO2. And you're like, yeah, but way less than the other options. I thought this is all about getting to net neutral, right? Well, it's a heck of a lot easier if you're burning Nat gas instead of coal or biomass or wood or whatever. And then a lot of these same people are against nuclear. That war seems to be, we've been on that early, but that war seems to be swinging back in our favor. So anyway, I just had to go off on that just because, and warning other people in other states, hey, you're going to see it put, well, Texans are probably sitting back, not in Texas. You might be right. God bless Texas for that. Love them down there. And as a matter of fact, coming down to Austin, I've never been down to Austin, got a little business get together deal that we're doing down there. Pumped to get down. I've only been down to Texas. I've only spent 3 days in Texas before. And I'm excited to be down there, man. First of all, coming down to places like Texas from the state of Washington, man, I feel like I'm amongst some reasonable folks. Feel like I could stretch my. I feel like I'm in a place that really appreciates freedom, faith, family, football. Pumped to be down there. Anyway, okay. So let's get to the rest of the market update. I went a little bit long on that power diatribe, but we're seeing a good buddy of mine who's really not a partisan politic at all. Really smart guy, grew up in the inner cities, actually a poor kid, grew up in the inner cities of LA, and super smart. I'm going to have him on the show, actually, and went to USC and ran a utility here in the state of Washington. And now he's running for the local board for our utility where we live. And his number one priority is reinstituting Nat gas. And he goes, Zach, he goes, this is just all politics. And he goes, we can't do what we need to do without it. And he goes, it is by far the best and most viable and clean solution. And this is not a political guy. He really isn't. Very moderate, down the middle type thinker. Like I said, born and raised in LA. I mean, it's not, you know, but this is just common sense versus insanity. It really is. And you can't do that with energy, guys. There's going to be way too big a price to pay. So anyway, you know, NVIDIA, getting the market update. Everybody still wants to talk NVIDIA. I'll tell you the biggest trend I've seen with NVIDIA is those proxies that we're talking about riding other parts of artificial intelligence that aren't insanely overvalued. They continue to perform as well, if not better, to the upside. And on a day like today where NVIDIA is getting smacked, most of our proxies, we had one Marvell, very small position in that. It's getting rocked pretty good today. But TSM, our biggest position, holding in way better, outperformed yesterday. And these are just one, you know, I'm just saying one days, but in general, this is what I was saying is everybody's piling into this thing. And why isn't NVIDIA is a great company? What's the problem? Do me a favor. And I brought this up on the show many times. Go out there and Google Sun Microsystems CEO, Scott McNeely. He did an interview and he walks through so many of people. It's sometimes I forget this because you're so close to it when you're managing money for a living. But I still hear so much a lack of understanding around valuations and the problems that they present. But go listen to what Scott McNeely talks about, because he ran one of the darlings of the tech bubble, Sun Microsystems, and the stock got obliterated when the tech crashed. And everybody's attitude, well, what's wrong? And he delivered this beautiful, what I thought was a very informative discussion on valuation and why valuation matters. And his whole point was, we didn't do anything wrong, but when people are buying a company at 10 to 12 times revenue, what do they expect? Okay, well, go look at NVIDIA. I mean, I think I just quit paying attention to the fundamentals because they're so insane. But, you know, you're talking about 30 to 40 times revenue. And like I said, if you think AI is going to be huge, it's not going to be a bomb that goes off in one building, guys. There's going to be a lot of companies that benefit from this and a lot of companies that are needed for that. Taiwan Semiconductors is one of them. Marvell is one of them. Right? And much more reasonable valuations, valuations that make sense, valuations that actually make them look extremely attractive. Because AI is going to be a big deal. But if you go buy companies like NVIDIA right now, it's all priced in. The gains have already happened. And I'm watching so many retail people pile more into this. And you're just going in the wrong direction, guys. And you're going to get hammered. And there's smarter ways to play it. Way smarter ways. Way more upside, right? It's not just, man, remember, managing risk is about maximizing upside while limiting downside. And I'm just sitting here, I could show you 10 of those companies. You walk through it and you project out what they're saying is going to make NVIDIA go, right? And then you look at NVIDIA stock and the price. Then you go look at how these companies are going to be impacted, and it's crazy. But this is the environment we live in. It's become a popularity contest. It's not a market. Okay, but it will be. It will be. And so many of you know that. So many of you are old enough to know, hey, I'm going to get smacked. I know I'm chasing things. I know I need to take profits. But oh, it just keeps going up. You're getting sucked into the vortex. I've even seen people like, oh, this economy is a sham. Then you look at their portfolio and they're all loaded up in just those things. Well, yeah, but look how good they've done. Yeah. And when things do really good and they get crazy expensive, remember, buy low and not hold forever. Buy low and sell high. People are like, that's not what Buffett. Listen, if Apple went on a run like that and was trading at 30 to 40 times revenue, I guarantee you Buffett would be taking massive profits off the table. He's been trimming Apple. Trading at 30 times earnings. Not revenue, earnings. And if so many are out there caught in that, and I know you are because I talk to you every day, out there caught in that conundrum. Well, I know, but we got so many gains in these things. And you're going to be convinced to do the right thing after you get smacked. Don't. There's a better way. You can make more money in the interim. Like I told you, these are better long-term investments than these valuations. Give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How many times in recent memory has your financial advisor not reacted to current events and also not made a change in your investment portfolio? Now, think about all the volatile events during that time that have threatened your retirement.
That's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of the Know Your Risk Radio podcast.
Todd, we talk about it all the time. Risk management, it's our number one focus. We actively manage every portfolio daily, looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give you as much upside as possible. Let us show you how Bulwark's risk management strategy can protect that retirement you've worked so hard for.
This is exactly why you need Zach and Bulwark Capital in your corner. You only get one retirement. Learn how Bulwark does it with their free Common Sense Investing Guide. Call 866-779-RISK or simply go to knowyourriskradio.com. That's 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Tech Financial LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. So I'm going to wrap up the market update real quick. I'm going to try to get it through it in an economical way because we've got other things we've got to get to here. But I had to do my rant. And like I was going to tell you, I don't know how many of you will do this, but I wanted to do that in a bipartisan way so you could send that segment to people. Because I kind of really think that that's the only way forward on the energy issue is just to educate people and realize how much nonsense they're being fed. And that by saying that nat gas is good doesn't mean you don't care about the planet. It is a big incremental improvement. And if the problem is as acute as those people say it is, then incremental improvements are what we should be after, especially with something that's as vital as the grid. And I'm going to get to that in this segment after we wrap this up, the market update, about what could possibly be a storm cooking off the coast as far as it relates to this country and our grid and our power availability. So interest rates, for those of you, again, we'll say it again, Daily Dots, we put out a 15 to 25 minute segment every single day. You can find it at the same place that you get this podcast. The goal for that originally was for our clients saying, Zach, you know, we don't know what to listen to. We're like, hey, why don't we do a 15 to 25 minute segment at the close every single day and discuss every important thing having to do, you know, that's at the intersection of finance, economics, and politics. And just giving you the important news because there's just, yeah, we all know there's so much nonsense out there today. but rates continue to be in la-la land. Bond movements really don't make any sense to me right now. I've heard some compelling arguments that people have made that they think this is what bonds are saying. I can't really make a lot on rates. And I think one of the issues that's got bonds pinned is if you're looking at this from a traditional point of view, you know, outside of the commercial real estate issues that we see. And remember, oh, another headline today. Where was that at? It was Massachusetts. Property in Massachusetts. 236,000 square foot office comp. Beautiful. It's not some nasty, you know. But beautiful looking office complex in Massachusetts. 2018 was sold for $43 million. It just got sold the other day for $634,000 square feet. So remember how people were saying, oh, I was being a Pollyanna when I said you're going to see 70 to 80% write downs on commercial real estate. That was about an 86% write down, I think. How did we know that? We did the math. Again, like I was telling you guys, this commercial real estate thing isn't, you know, us saying, oh, there's a storm coming. It's just rates. It's just the way commercial real estate works. But I mean, if you're looking at this whole thing, when you look at CPI prints and you look at profitability and you look at economic growth, and you look at the trend on inflation, you could make a really solid argument that rates maybe need to go higher. Yet the Fed's already talking cuts. And I think that's kind of put bonds in a place where they're kind of chasing their tail. I don't think they really know what to pay attention to. One we're really paying attention to here, though, guys, you're seeing a big breakout here in gold, and it makes a lot of sense to me. And it makes me feel as if the market and the world is possibly waking up to the idea that we're never going to stop printing. It's baked into the cake. And I've always thought that gold would win when the world wakes up and realizes there is no way out. And why do I say we're never going to stop? Because the imbalances are too big. Meaning you've had central banks now intervening for so long that it's almost like they've taken the economy and stacked it up on stilts. And now they're like, take the stilts away. You're like, well, there's, you didn't put the pylons in, right? So if you do that, right? So central banks intervened in the beginning to get the economy back on track and try to get it healed from the great financial crisis, but they've intervened so much with rates and look at the Fed's balance sheet and debt and deficits and interest costs. You look at all this stuff, the fixes, the quote unquote fixes they applied are so significant, right? It's almost like if you got like a damaged airplane and you keep putting welds on the fuselage, trying to hold it together. But at a certain top point, right, the weight of the fixes and all the things you've done have gotten so heavy that now they've changed the characteristics of the way the airplane flies, right? It'd be kind of like that. And you know, it gets back to this whole, oh, strong economy. Yeah, when you're running 7% deficits to GDP, everything – I read this hilarious tweet last night where this guy, he's a respected market strategist, and he's like, when people don't want to know why the stock market's going up, it's not a magic button that Yellen pushed. Look at earnings, and this economy is booming. And I responded to him, and I go, obviously, you don't like math. Of course those numbers look good. The government's dumping $2.5 trillion into the pot every year. How does anything go down in that environment? Are you kidding me? It's not a magic button. It's the whole bloody keyboard. They've just got their face pressed against the thing. And just listening to these people that are supposed to be like, I'm a market strategist. And you're trying to tell me you got a government that is running 7% deficits to GDP, and you're just going to gloss over that and say that the economy is booming? Yeah. Why? We live in the era of stupid. We just do. I could probably spend a whole episode talking about that. But anyway, what was it? Yeah, so gold and Bitcoin. So I think there's a couple different things going on. I think people are sniffing that out. The other thing is I think that they're both big recipients at this point from a lot of the printing and the stimulus that's going on in China. And part of it's cultural, right? Chinese love gold. Gold is a much more popular investment in Asia. Gold is also a much more popular investment in any type of communist or previously communist regime. And it's because those people have experienced massive currency volatility and they're aware of that risk. They've experienced it. But you want to watch on that because gold has broken out to a very decidedly new high and it just looks like it's steaming here. Obviously, we got to watch it in this crazy environment. I mean, you can't take anything for granted, but we have gold back on, and we've had it on for a little while now. For the first time in a while, we bought a good chunk of gold and really killed it coming out of COVID. And we dumped it right around the gold miners that we held. We dumped it right around that previous high of 2050. And the whole adage was, as soon as we get back, new highs, we're in. So we've gotten back in. They're running for us nice at this point. And I'll tell you, look, we came into this year and I've said to so many of you guys, look, we don't have anywhere near the risk exposure as the overall market, but I really think people are looking in the wrong direction. And if you look at it right now, our two portfolios are outperforming both the NASDAQ and the S&P with far less risk exposure because exactly what I was telling you guys was going to happen is happening. Now, I get them wrong too. So, but when you see so few stocks go up last year, like what happened, right? Because everybody's like, it was a good year in the market. It was all driven by 7 stocks. Okay. Made up 85% of the gains or something like that. Okay. And there's, when you see that and they blast off to such, you know, crazy stretch valuations, one of two things usually has to happen. Those stocks are going to come back down to earth or the other stocks are going to play catch up. And so I saw, you know, a lot of people going, and you're like, no, it's not time to get out of that stuff. It's time to sit tight. If you want to jump right in into a tech heavy portfolio, you're jumping, you know, you're going to miss it. But this year is another classic example of how we don't have to have the risk pegged to the floor to keep up. And there's still a lot of good stuff out there. It's just not the stuff that anybody's looking at. So here was the other thing that I was going to tell you about the thing coming up about that could cause some energy issues in this country. So doing an interview, and we're going to post it today with a buddy of mine that manages money in Monaco. Very sharp guy. I'm very fun to listen to. And the reason I say he's sharp, I'm always drawn to people that can simultaneously display a wealth of knowledge on a topic, but also break it down to real simple terms. Why? I've always valued plain speak. I think that when language gets esoteric and too soaring, it usually is covering up for it's usually covering up for ignorance or a hole in somebody's logic, right? They're usually trying to impress people, or right? It's not. Maybe it's the Warren Buffett fan in me. I'm always more drawn and I'm always more impressed by the intellects that can take very complex topics and boil them down to a place where even a layman can understand them. I've always admired that about Buffett and Munger. I think Reagan was really good at that. I think to a certain extent, Clinton was good at that. You know, being able to strike a tone with the common, you know, make things bite-sized for people. But this buddy of mine is very good at that. And we really dig into a lot of this stuff. But anyway, so one of the things he and I were talking about was it's really fascinating to watch this political push of cracking down on all this quote unquote fossil fuels and going after the gas lobby and all this stuff. In the meantime, every other thing that they're doing is just loading up the grid and putting way too much pressure on it. You've got places right now on the East Coast, because there have been a lot of data centers that have gone in around the Virginia area, Washington, D.C. area. You got several places in there where utility companies have literally told those guys, hey, you need to figure something out, because where we're headed right now, we're not going to have power for you in a year or 2 years. Now, why am I bringing this up as it relates to NVIDIA? Because NVIDIA's new AI chip that they put out is extraordinarily energy demanding. It's thirsty. And here's how much. I didn't realize how much. The average U.S. home consumes about 28 megawatts of power a day. Okay? The average AI chip being used on servers, the chip that NVIDIA produces, the average AI chip uses about a third of that, about 11 megawatts per day, or megawatt hours is what it's called, I think. Okay, and that doesn't even account for or include the cooling costs, the energy required to cool the data centers where that thing is used, right? That's just the energy usage of the chip. Now, at the same time, what have these folks done? Put massive pushes behind electric vehicles. Okay, you got grid failures all over the place. You got brownouts. You got all this kind of stuff. And they keep packing more and more onto this. You know the only way you're going to be able to bridge this? Nat gas and nuclear. But nat gas is that backup alternate source. Think about that. We're all freaked out about nat gas, but not AI chips. It doesn't even make any sense. And here's the other troubling part. You can't just rebuild a grid in a day. This is going to take massive investment. And even when you rebuild the grid, you've got to have the right inputs. You got to have the right power sources to make it viable. But this AI thing, I'm telling you, think about that. Think of the proliferation of that. Think of the chip sales that these people are talking about. Each chip sucking up a third as much power per day as a home. And then again, that's just the power consumption of the chip itself. That doesn't even factor into the cooling at the data centers. It reminds me of the Bible talk. The increase in knowledge is the increase of sorrow. Meaning, the more you study this stuff, the more perplexed you are, because you're just like, look, one of two things has to be true. Either these people are just complete idiots, or there is like a conspiratorial underbelly of this thing, because nothing it doesn't make any sense. You know, just, yeah, but it's like, it reminds me of that video you saw the other day. I don't know if you guys saw this. A video of the high school girls basketball game. And this dude, and yeah, I'm going to call him a dude. This dude playing in the game just throw. It looked like you were watching a domestic violence video. Just throws this girl to the ground. And she's in pain. And then just stands there calmly and makes a layup because he's a foot taller than everybody else. But in both scenarios, you look at these people and you're like, how have these things become political issues? These aren't political. This is insanity. We're going to let men with male sex organs, we're going to let them onto the court with girls and just beat them up? Why? We're going to eliminate nat gas just because we've decided? It's lunacy, people. I tell you. It's flat out lunacy. But anyway, there's the other side of it. And or on the NVIDIA note, or excuse me, on the NVIDIA chips and the power consumption they soak up. Like we keep camping down on, well, got to do it this way, got to do it that way. Getting rid of nat gas, getting rid of all this stuff. It's bad. And then meanwhile, we just keep laying it on the grid. We keep laying it on the grid. Folks down in Texas, you guys remember some of the grid issues down there? They've experienced it. Californians have experienced it. I have a feeling here that we in Washington State are setting up for it just because of the leadership. We got a real special governor up here, folks. It really is remarkable. Usually you look at politicians, even if you disagree with them, you're like, oh, they're talented or whatever. I mean, this guy is the schmuck of all schmucks. He's just a moron. He's hard to listen to talk. I mean, he's our own little special gift. Anyway, and still getting over a little cough there. Yeah. Forgive me. So, let's get it or yeah, I already talked about that. Another piece that I want on the valuation topic, and we're going to close this up because I want to get to our last segment here. But on the valuation topic, another one that you should read, and this isn't a hit job on this guy, but this is price at times in the markets can be a real big liar. And especially in periods of times like this, because price is real all the time, meaning the price you see a stock trading at right now, you can sell it. But when that price is built up on a shaky foundation, that price can disappear very quickly. And I think one of the best ways to see that, and again, I'm not taking a shot at the guy, but there's another piece I want you to Google. I believe it's like 10 stocks to own for the new economy that Jim Cramer put out in early 2000s. And I believe 8 of them are defunct and gone now. Okay, and I'm not saying that to beg on him. I'm saying that to bring up that in these manias, these things look all too real. And then you see the price go up, and then that's the thing that convinces everybody it's real. Okay, but in a bubble is meant, it is a, like people, it's a hall of mirrors. It's illusion. And all of a sudden there's a red pill or there's something that we take that wakes people up or there's a shock to the system. And then all of a sudden these things find intrinsic value. And all too often that intrinsic value is far below. And another hallmark of bubbles is everybody thinks they're going to be able to get out. I know it's a bubble, but I'm going to be able to get out in time. And they never do. And I think you've got an unbelievable setup for this one, because what is this particular bubble taught everybody for a very long time? That the only way you need to win this game is by the dip, right? And people go, well, I'll know when to get out. Yeah, but you'll go back in. And you'll go back in because your fundamental analysis isn't a part of your process, meaning you don't know when something's cheap. You know when the price has dropped, but you don't know what's cheap. People go, yes, I do. When the price of the stock, no, it's not the price of the stock. It's the price of the stock in relationship to the earnings and profits that the company has. Okay, the value of the stock, whether it's $20 or $2,000, does not make it cheap or expensive. And I know a lot of you are probably sitting out there going, Well, Zach, I knew that. Maybe you did, but you should hear what I hear on a daily basis. It's shocking. And the guys, these are times where you need to be sober. They're also the times where you need to, if you're gearing up for retirement right now, you need to stop right now and look at yourself in the mirror. And I'm dead serious. If you're listening to this on the radio, if you're listening to a podcast, do this today. Leading up to retirement, you just rode the biggest, longest bull market right up to retirement. What a gift. You're looking at the most overvalued stock market in the history of this country. Okay, now is a really good time to prep your portfolio because, guys, if you're old enough for retirement, you're old enough to know that trees don't grow to the sky. You're old enough to have seen a few market cycles. Okay, this one ain't going to be the one that goes on forever. Matter of fact, we'll never have that one. But more importantly, if it is one that has another blow off top and has another run in it, there's a safe way to do that. We can do that. We're doing it right now, keeping the overall portfolio very conservatively positioned, but using those tail hedges to keep us up with the insanity so we can profit from it too. But here's the difference. When the rug pull happens, and notice when I say when, this will not be the only time in financial history that the bubble refuses to pop. That's bubble thinking too. This time it's going to last forever. Never has. Quit magically thinking. Think like a shrewd hustler. The easy money's been made. You know that. And can we ride it still? Yeah, we just got to know how. Got to make sure there's net underneath you. Got to make sure you're protected from those instantaneous drops. Go back and look at the NASDAQ. I remember working, I was selling boats in college. One of my many weird jobs I did to get through college. And I remember sitting there with a guy who had $1,000,001 at the beginning of 2000. And his goal was to hit $1,000,000 and he was going to retire. And he didn't. He didn't pull the trigger. Fast forward 2 years later, and his $1,000,000 was worth 190 grand or 220. Anyway, he's 80, 85% loss. He was still selling boats. We've all seen it before, but are you going to be the guy that walks right into that fire? You don't have to. There's a better way, and you can still make the money without taking the risk. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, boardcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. We'll be right back after the break. Stick with us. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How many times in recent memory has your financial advisor not reacted to current events and also not made a change in your investment portfolio? Now, think about all the volatile events during that time that have threatened your retirement.
That's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of the Know Your Risk Radio podcast.
Todd, we talk about it all the time. Risk management, it's our number one focus. We actively manage every portfolio daily, looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give you as much upside as possible. Let us show you how Bulwark's risk management strategy can protect that retirement you've worked so hard for.
This is exactly why you need Zach and Bulwark Capital in your corner. You only get one retirement. Learn how Bulwark does it with their free Common Sense Investing Guide. Call 866-779-RISK or simply go to knowyourriskradio.com. That's 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Tech Financial LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Okay, I lied to you. Good news is I got through my hit sheet, covered all the stuff that I wanted to cover. Takeaways. Guys, we want to skate to where the puck's going, not where it is. Okay, you know what's interesting to me right now? Not NVIDIA. Not in the ancillary plays around NVIDIA are tail hedges stuff, ripping. And NVIDIA was getting pounded today. All of our tail hedges were hanging in there way better. So we're getting more to the upside, less to the downside. There's ways to it, but that's not what I'm focused on. We're looking at where the puck is going. Okay, I'm looking at this massive wave of liquidity coming out of government here. It's going to hit the industrials, right? Tech's not going to be the big beneficiary of this. A lot of those plays are way beaten down. We still love biotech. We still love uranium, the nuclear side of it. I think the commodity complex, especially gold, palladium's looking really interesting. And this is the like I've talked about, this is one of the other things that bubbles do. Not only do they end up taking a lot of money from you, but they simultaneously blind you with the sexy, look over here, right? The shiny object, look at all the money they're making. They simultaneously blind you from the real opportunities. And there are a lot of them out there, okay, that have way less risk. These things are priced like they're already going out of business with nice dividends. And when this stuff crashes, you can dig through the wreckage and pull out the best pieces. Think about how you did that at the end of the 2000 bubble, right? If you missed that thing, you were able to get in there, buy Microsoft for cheap and Amazon, and you were able to get them just crazy cheap prices. We'll have that chance again, but it takes some discipline. It takes risk management. If you don't have it, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, boardcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
How many times in recent memory has your financial advisor not reacted to current events and also not made a change in your investment portfolio? Now, think about all the volatile events during that time that have threatened your retirement.
That's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of the Know Your Risk Radio podcast.
Todd, we talk about it all the time. Risk management, it's our number one focus. We actively manage every portfolio daily, looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give you as much upside as possible. Let us show you how Bulwark's risk management strategy can protect that retirement you've worked so hard for.
This is exactly why you need Zach and Bulwark Capital in your corner. You only get one retirement. Learn how Bulwark does it with their free Common Sense Investing Guide. Call 866-779-RISK or simply go to knowyourriskradio.com. That's 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Tech Financial LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.